This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Tina Amini.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Justin Davis.
Happy Scoopness.
And Sam Claiborne.
And Happy New Year.
And it is the moment you've all been waiting for. The 75th annual Dammy Awards have arrived. We have a little bit of a pre-show for you first. We'll have the Dammy Awards coming up. We're going to do our sort of year in review, look back at what content performed the best on IGN this year. But first, sort of as an opening act for the Dammy Awards, is that Perfect Dark announcement that we ran out of time to get to last week. Announced at the Game Awards, all we've got is like a teaser trailer so far, and we know it's from the Initiative new studio from Microsoft. So I love Perfect Dark.
You do?
Yeah.
Which Perfect Dark?
What do you mean? The first.
Which
Perfect
one?
Dark. Perfect Dark.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, the game's great.
Amazing game.
I didn't realize you were such a big fan. I mean, I like Perfect Dark, sure. What's not to like?
I love Perfect
Dark.
That's
what it sounds like.
But I understand that, the original is probably over 20 years old at this point.
Listen, we play 20 questions all the time. You should know this. That game came out, I believe, in 1998.
I was going to say 98. So 22 years old. There's only one good one. There's, the bad one on 360. Then there's a Game Boy Color version that I'm sure nobody played. So it's like, it's been a long time, and it's a completely different type of game to like a first-person shooter you'd
find. And it's
today.
Not rare.
It's not rare making it. It's a slower, it's like a slow-paced first-person shooter, which is partly because of, the tech it was running on at the time, and partly because Joanna Dark is a spy, so it makes sense that she's a little bit sneaking around, not getting in huge gunfights with 100 enemies. So I don't know if it actually makes sense to bring this game back.
I just want to make a correction. Perfect Dark was 2000.
In the year 2000. Okay, so 20 years old.
Yeah, I totally remember the year 2000 now and when that came out. Yeah.
I have a question for you, Damon.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruffle any feathers with this. Mm-hmm. Does this game have to be first person?
Does it have to? No, just the first one was. So I don't know.
I just like everyone like, Perfect Dark. It's a first person shooter. But you touched on this earlier. I don't really think about it that way. I think about it more as like an adventure. You're using gadgets. You're crawling around. You're looking through security feeds. There's a goofy alien. So in my mind, it doesn't actually have to be a first person shooter. Like, I think it could be a different thing. They could pull a God of War with it.
It could be set in feudal Japan. That'd be cool. Might be an improvement.
Yeah, but then I'd have to play a mental exercise where I just tell myself it's not a Perfect Dark game and it's actually a Anyway,
so I like Perfect Dark a lot too, Damon. I don't know that I would say I love it, but I really like it. I was a big fan. I played it a lot. The Initiative is described as a quadruple A studio,
like, oh boy,
highest of the high tier. And I'm like, and again, I like Perfect Dark. I'm like, is this really like really?
I know.
This is the thing.
I tend to agree with you. They kind of have to like reintroduce Perfect Dark to two new generations of gamers, right?
Well, didn't they like kind of refocus it around like eco sci-fi and not around aliens for some reason?
What? I mean, just from the teaser trailer?
Yeah, from the and from the intro where they talked about it a lot in the awards ceremony stuff.
Yeah, I think that's just like the theme around like, you know, those corporations, they're really warming the globe and what have you. And nature will retake, you know, will retake society. There's overgrown vines everywhere, but there could still be aliens.
The original had a real vibe of like conspiracy theory, like secret societies and stuff that like, I don't know, it's cool.
Here's one thing that's encouraging to me. The head of the Initiative studio is Daryl Gallagher, and he was at Crystal Dynamics when they rebooted Tomb Raider, and he was like the head of sort of rebooting Tomb Raider and whatever it was, 2013. So that's encouraging to me because they've done that. That was a big success, right? So maybe they can do the same thing with Perfect Dark. I hope they can.
That's why they consider it a like quadruple A studio. It's supposed to be like a, you know, super powered group of developers come from so many different backgrounds. Like the director, Drew Murray, was also who worked on Sunset Overdrive. So there's like a lot of star players here that should be able to borrow elements that worked really well in their games from their previous careers that they could possibly put into here.
So it's kind of a supergroup studio. I didn't realize that. I mean, I guess we've been hearing, I wouldn't even know the name if there weren't people attached to it that I had heard of. Perfect Dark ended with these, like, you know, the conspiracy and the alien that, and then I don't remember any of that in Zero. Did you play Zero?
I never played Zero because it was just, it didn't get good reviews. I didn't have a 360 right at launch.
Yeah. It had that bump mapping.
Zero's probably, I mean, I'm sure you can buy it on an Xbox Series console. Play it.
Is it not in Rare Replay?
Good question. Did Rare make it? Was it a Rare game?
Yeah, it's a Rare game.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't Rare Replay. I'm going to look it up on the Xbox store, see what it costs.
Yeah. Maybe worth checking out before. But yeah, this is a surprising reboot also just to not know anything about it except for that teaser. Like, that teaser doesn't show anything that looks like Perfect Dark except for Joanna Dark having like she always had a distinct haircut. Mm-hmm. And they show that in this. That's it. Yeah. That's the only connection.
Perfect Dark Zero is $15 if you want to buy it and play it.
Mm-hmm. Seems a little steep.
I know we've talked about this.
Poorly received Xbox 360 launch game.
You know, I know we've talked about this on Scoop, but it's so crazy that Xbox has like unified their ecosystem now. Like, if you have an Xbox console, you can buy and download and play this game right now. It still feels ahead of its time, although that should be how, you know, Nintendo consoles and Sony consoles work too. Mm-hmm. It's great. Yeah.
Tina, have you played Perfect Dark?
I haven't, but just from a cinematic, this one looks pretty interesting, just in the sense of what the narrative might be, the fact that it, you know, like a stealth shooter sounds really interesting. I love stealth games in general. So those like elements that they were teasing seemed really cool. And it sounds like there'll be some parkour elements too. So going back to the whole Sunset Overdrive thing, like that could be done really well, like the really good traversal combined with a shooter in like a Titanfall-esque kind of way sounds really good to me. I was listening to one of our other podcasts, Podcast Unlocked, and Ryan called it Perfect Dark meets Mirror's Edge, which combo sounds pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. And you're right. I mean, Sunset Overdrive was like that game is about motion and about getting around. And they did such a good job with that. It's almost like a skate game or something in that sense. Like, it'd be really cool to see what they could do with if it is a first person shooter, you know, for context out there, if you haven't, Perfect Dark is, you know, a significant series primarily because it was the follow-up to GoldenEye. Right. So GoldenEye on N64 was, you know, famous for multiplayer and single player came in a little bit. Perfect Dark had just as good of multiplayer, I think, and everybody played it split screen, and the campaign was so much better. Like, mm-hmm. it was just a really That's cool, right. self-contained story. Like, it's just, it's so crazy to think of that being kind of the peak of Rare. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Star Fox Adventures coming down a little bit, Perfect Dark Zero coming down a little bit, Cameo. And it's like, man, Rare was at the top of their game. They should have been making Half-Life Alyx this year, you know, with, yeah, with a yeah. game that, that was that significant of a shooter at that time. But they're just a different company now.
Yeah, Perfect Dark was really ahead of its time. The multiplayer was crazy good with the RAM expansion pack in the top of your N64.
Yeah.
The campaign levels, like the one that I really remember is the big villa that was like really sprawling and nonlinear and had different ways for you to approach things. And, you know, it really ramped up that system in GoldenEye of like the different difficulty levels didn't just make the enemies harder. Like it gave you different tasks you had to
it's
complete
so fun.
In the levels.
I missed that from Assassin's Creed. You used to have perfect sync in Assassin's Creed, and it was like, yep. well, you're going to go assassinate this person, but also, you know, try not to do this and mm-hmm. make sure you stay hidden the whole time. Like, I like that stuff. In Perfect Dark, my favorite level was it's like a downed airplane. There's like, I think it's Air Force One, and it's like crashed, and then you're on the airplane and exploring it, and then you're in like tunnels under it, and it's like all crazy. It's just like such a weird, like psychedelic level.
But, yeah, Sam, you're totally right about the comparisons between Perfect Dark and GoldenEye. GoldenEye was probably more of the like the phenomenon, the cultural phenomenon, but me and my friends played Perfect Dark. That's like the one that we spent all of our time with.
Same.
It's interesting to think that Rare is still around.
Tino's on GoldenEye.
What's that?
Tino's like, I was GoldenEye.
yeah,
I think sure. I was about split, honestly. Like, I played a lot of GoldenEye.
It's and interesting to think Gemini. That...
We played a lot of Perfect Dark because it had bots. So you know, me and my buddy would like just try to you know defeat all the bots, and then it had the dark bots that were terrifying mm-hmm. and turned the multiplayer into a horror game because of how like they'd scream around a corner and like headshot you in 1 second because they were like so good, like the best bots I've ever seen in a multiplayer shooter.
Yeah, it's interesting to think that Rare is still around, but they're not making. This new one. I wonder if there's anyone at Rare today that was there when they made Perfect Dark, and now they have to watch the Initiative make it, and they're stuck working on Sea of Thieves. And
what was
whatever,
the last Rare game? Sea of Thieves. The new Rare game looks really cool, though. The like sort of naturey one that they showed.
Yeah,
off.
Yeah. What's that one?
A good trailer. And I should mention, Sea of Thieves Everwild? Is as popular as it's ever been. Like it's
yeah, that's true.
It right now, and that community loves it. And so I don't want to bash Rare. I was just kind of talking about their arc of development. Like just so, it's just not what I expected it to be. I thought they'd be making the most important first-person shooters for the rest of our lives. It's just surprising.
Yeah. Okay, well, I've decided to be, although I was a little bit skeptical, the more we talk about it, I've decided to be hopeful about the new Perfect
Dark. That's what we just did here?
Yeah, yep.
I played through, you know, I hadn't thought about Perfect Dark in over 10 years, but then when Rare Replay came out, I blasted through the campaign, and it was very nostalgic, and, you know, obviously it's, like, up-rezzed on the Xbox One, so it, like, felt pretty good to play. Like, I'm sure if I were to actually dig out an N64 and play it, it'd be miserable, right?
The central stick makes it impossible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
I don't know how we did that.
Okay. That's enough Perfect Dark. it is the moment you've all been waiting for. Let's kick off the 75th annual Dammy Awards. Is that what you guys are going to wear?
Well, I was going to ask you, Damon. I know you got dressed up for the Perfect Dark discussion. Are you going to step it up for the awards now?
Now I can relax. Rip off the bow tie. Yeah, if you're listening to the show, I'm wearing a bow tie.
Yeah,
is it real?
They can tell.
Yeah, they can hear the strangulated voice.
It's like it's not clip on, but there's just a band that goes around my neck that I clip.
Oh, that makes it fancier. You got to specify. It's not clip on. It's elastic.
Not elastic, I wouldn't say. Anyway, the bow tie is not getting any awards tonight. Sam, do you have your Slack open?
Yeah.
You have eyes on your Slack? Okay, yeah. Here to present the first award of the evening.
Oh my gosh, I forgot we did this.
I totally remembered.
It's a category that's usually much more stacked than it is this year, but it's best movie I saw. And I only saw one movie in theaters. And
don't we get to guess it too?
A couple other movies I saw. So here to present the award for best movie I saw is Sam Claiborne.
Okay, I'm not going to look yet.
Why don't we just open it up to just, why don't you just make it any movie and then it can be Fellowship of the Ring?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
All right. I can't guess. Okay. You picked three.
Yep.
One of them, I guess, would have been my guess. First is Birds of Prey.
Mm-hmm.
Watch that. I was too drunk to remember it. Palm Springs. Palm Springs. Real fun. And then Beastie Boys Doc, which I haven't seen yet.
The Beastie Boys documentary. It's on Apple TV Plus. Apple,
so I'm going to get Apple to watch Ted Lasso, and then I can watch that as part of it.
Yes.
Do we make a prediction on what Damon picked? Is that sure. how this works?
Sure.
You pick the Beastie Boys doc.
I think it's Palm Springs.
I think Palm Springs because that would be my choice. So.
Okay, me too. That's good. Birds of Prey is the only movie that I saw in theaters this year. It's not my pick. I'm just going through the whole list.
Yeah.
I don't think that would... I liked it. I don't think it would normally be included in my short list of best movies I saw, but I saw so few movies this year. Another one I saw was Invisible Man, which is good. Mm-hmm. Probably wouldn't nominate it as best movie I saw. So Birds of Prey was fun. Definitely a step in the right direction for DC. Palm Springs is very cute, very funny, but like a lot of straight-to-streaming movies, I think the screenplay could have used a couple more drafts. So I got to go with Beastie Boys Doc. Beastie Boys Doc.
Okay. Is Beastie that good? Boys.
Well, yeah, the documentary is great. And also just the Beastie Boys, hugely influential on me, my life, even beyond like music, just like style and attitudes. And like, they're just amazing, amazing trio of people. I love the documentary. It's a companion to the book that came out last year, which sort of goes through, you know, their young lives as young men growing up in New York and just having total freedom to explore the city at all hours of the night without any sort of adult supervision, and how they went from just being total, like, you know, being in like a hardcore punk band to then really getting into
hip-hop. Which apparently there's footage of that we're watching right now.
Yeah. Shows how they got into hip hop, and like they, in order to stand out, in order to get attention, they like developed these like asshole personas, and like that was their shtick and that worked well for them. But then they grew up as people, and like they grew out of that, and like
they apologized for it.
Yeah, they spent their whole career sort of like making up for that, and they grew into like very like socially, environmentally conscious people. It's just an amazing story. The only gripe I have, the same gripe I had with the book, is that they spend half of the book talking about their lives before they even released their first Beastie Boys rap album. So I guess I just would want more. I just wanted more.
Didn't you say it like followed them on their like book tour a little bit too much too?
What do you mean? The book?
No, the movie. Yeah. I thought like there's like them being old a lot in it.
Well, I mean, that's what this movie is one of their book tour, a recording of their book tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, they're old now, yeah, and it's them telling their story. So
we're giving this to Palm Springs, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, Beastie Boys documentary.
Okay. I will say another documentary this year that embodied a similar like kids in the 80s being free and doing whatever they want. Came out this year, was really good. I enjoyed it. Class Action Park. Have you guys heard of it?
Class. Oh wait. Oh,
yeah, I heard of it. Yeah.
That's the one about the
Danger Park.
Yeah.
The super, is it New Jersey? Is that where
New
it is?
New Jersey, yeah. Action Park.
And they have
New
the slide that goes upside down.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. The Cannonball Loop or something. Fascinating documentary. But the overall point at the end of it, I also just like love theme parks, water parks and whatnot. And my brothers grew up going to that park and injuring themselves in it.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of crazy story. But I just love like they kind of bring it back in the end to kids would just, you know, come home whenever and their parents would be like, okay, see you later. And there'd just be like no holds barred. They just get to go out and have that freedom. So similar.
Vibe. I got to see that.
Yeah. Where can we watch that?
I think it's on HBO.
Oh, cool.
Yes,
does it have any HBO cool Max. Arcade shots?
No.
I wonder if they had an arcade there.
I don't think so. They had a giant bar though, which I had no idea about.
What? Like, about the kids water park?
Yeah, there's like an entire, and they would hold big events there too. It's very interesting.
It's great. The movie can be summed up as 80s be crazy.
Yes, actually. Yes.
That sounds like it's relevant to my interests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Good recommendation.
The award for the best old movie that I discovered this year goes to Humanoids from the Deep, which is an amazingly trashy. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad that Borba has footage of this. Amazingly trashy Roger Corman movie from 1980, sort of a Jaws Piranha ripoff. That I'll give you an indication of how trashy this movie is. The first kill, the first person killed is a little kid. What do the humanoids want? Why have they come from the deep? What do they want? They want to breed with us. So that's it's a schlocky, super ridiculously gory early 80s horror film. I loved it. It's on Amazon.
Corman in 1980 is a whole new thing, right? I mean, like
he'd already been
in 1960s.
Yeah, exactly. He'd already been around for decades. So. Humanoids from the Deep. That one's great. Okay, Justin, you get the award with the longest list of nominations.
I'm ready.
This is the award for best TV show I watched. Here to present.
Man, so many this year.
What we do in the shadows.
Here to present the award for best TV show I watched is Justin Davis.
Best TV show I watched. And the nominees are Ozark, season 3.
No.
Ted Lasso.
Maybe.
Cobra Kai.
Oh.
Maybe.
High Score.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Money Heist. Mm-hmm. The Boys, season 2. Mm-hmm. This is a good season. This is a good year for Damon television. Mm-hmm. Love is Blind. Schitt's Creek. Sex Education season 2. Mm-hmm. And What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay. Yeah.
Tough one.
That's 10 series. I can't believe I saw 10. I watched 10 amazing TV series this year.
What else is there to do?
Did you see Never Have I Ever?
No.
I think you'd like. And teen show stuff. It's really funny. It's so funny.
I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Cobra Kai.
That's I'm split prediction. Between Cobra Kai and What We Do in the Shadows, but I might say What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, I've cycled through What We Do in the Shadows episodes 3 or 4 times now. It's so so appealing to me. I would hope it would be for Damon, especially with the horror element of it.
And we talked about it so much.
Yeah.
Well, I loved all these shows. I'd forgotten that Ozark season 3 was this year, but I really, really liked that show. I think I watched it in January. Ted Lasso, I just saw recently on Justin's recommendation, and I super recommend that. Super, like, feel good. It's great. I liked the High Score documentary on Netflix a lot. That was a big surprise. I just think the access that they had from people from the video games industry in the 80s and early 90s, especially from Nintendo. I loved watching those interviews. That was great.
Money Heist. So many people died at Nintendo and then went, it was such a crazy time in the 80s. So many injuries.
Have any of you watched Money Heist?
No, I'd never even heard of that.
It's a Spanish show about bank robbery. And it's great. It's really, really good. It doesn't take itself quite
awesome
too seriously.
Oh, that's interesting, because the trailer is very... the Netflix algorithm is always putting that one in front of me, and I've never given it a chance.
It's really good.
It knows you, Justin.
Yeah, it must.
I was a little lukewarm on season 1 of The Boys, but I really liked season 2 of The Boys.
That show is stressful, man.
Mm-hmm. Stressful, and I appreciate all the exploding blood and guts. It was great.
So gory.
Love is Blind is nominated with an asterisk. Of course, it's trash TV, but I loved it. It was so the drama that they ratcheted up, and that was just great. And that's coming from someone who's watched The Bachelor for a long time, and The Bachelor has gotten so like.
And who dresses like The Bachelor?
I'm dressed like
big influence on your style and dressing like the Beastie Boys.
Exactly. Not much to say about Schitt's Creek that anyone doesn't know already. The show is hilarious. I super love that one, and it's got the show has a great heart to it as well. Sex Education is a show that I don't hear people talking about a lot, but it's a British comedy, teen comedy on Netflix, and season 2 was great. And of course, like you guys said, What We Do in the Shadows, super super funny. I love that show as well.
Third season.
That's not only that, but the third season is in like the early part of next year. They filmed it in like January.
Oh wow, cool. But yeah, I got to give it to Cobra Kai. I've sung the praises here on the show many times, but like, I cannot believe that this show worked. A sequel to The Karate Kid from the 80s, and it's really good. It's like both exciting. It's got good action, and then like really good characters and great drama happening. I just can't believe it. It's great.
There's ever been like a bigger gap between like how good something is and how good it should be. Like, it has no right to be this way.
It this is crazy. It does what it kind of does what Last of Us Part Two was trying to do better in terms of just like making the antagonist of the original, the protagonist of the new one. And then the hero of the original, Daniel is like a real douchebag as an adult. I don't know.
Right. Well, we've been set up for that swap too, though.
What do you mean?
Years of fans being like, you know, he was robbed, et cetera.
Really? Like, was that a kind of a actual term meme? Like that was a thing a piece of information that was around? That's so cool.
It was a popularly held opinion and even replicated in How I Met Your Mother through Nathan Harris's character. Yeah.
That's such cool background because that means they knew about that and they're like, let's do something with this.
Yeah, he calls him the real Karate Kid.
Wow. Really?
Mm-hmm. Whole thing.
A couple others to note. Do you guys remember that Dracula was this year?
Yeah, I love Dracula.
Yeah. I mean, that was great.
Didn't make the top 10.
I like Dracula episode one. Then it gets really weird.
Yeah, that's kind of why. That's why I didn't nominate it. But yeah,
three was cool.
I like 2, 3, 2.
I liked Umbrella Academy season 2, just not as much as the movies.
Yeah, good characters in that.
Yeah, I really liked Queen's Gambit. We just finished that.
Yep.
Fantastic. Although I think it's like exhilarating when she's playing chess, but then when she's hanging out with these dweeby dudes, it's kind of like I get a little bored then.
I like the traveling and the sets. I mean, it's all mid-century stuff. So, you know, I love 60s stuff, and it's really, really cool.
It's so I
love
it to look at. I'm like, how do they even make this show? Like, it just feels like
how do you do a Soviet Russian modern hotel? Like, it's Mexico City. It's like so crazy.
Just like the recreation of Las Vegas and all that stuff. It's like Netflix is good at having these shows. Like Queen's Gambit is great, but like they're good at having these shows that are like mainly just beautiful to look at, and it kind of doesn't even matter what's like happening. What it's about.
And then finally, Mandalorian, you know, I think I'm enjoying it. And the stuff that they've done, hopefully this isn't a spoiler to people, but what they've done with Boba Fett, I think, is amazing. But overall, I just think that show is like good, not top tier, good, fun, good, you know.
It's finally getting good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's warming up. It's,
yeah.
Needs more baby. And then I love every time there's X-Wings in that show. Very rare. Whenever there is, it's great.
They're in there all the time.
A couple times.
They're the cops. They're like the cops now. They're like, cops are here, and it's X-Wings.
Yep.
It's so funny.
How do I? Oh, here we go. All right, Tina, are you ready for the big award? You get to do the big award.
Nice.
This is the award for best game I played. Here to present the award for best game I played this year is Tina Amini.
Did you personally withhold that information in the last episode when we were talking about game of the year and only let us talk about our games of the year?
No,
I want for this episode.
I'm trying to remember if Damon gave it away.
Oh, I know what it is already. So I'm taking it. Thank you very much. You guys, hold on. The nominees are Hades, Hunt Down, Panzer Paladin, Streets of Rage 4, Ghost of Tsushima. Hold on, going back. The Eternal Castle. And then finally, Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon 2. And it is, of course, right? Ghost of Tsushima.
Mm-hmm.
What about Spelunky 2?
Yeah, you'll notice I didn't even nominate it. I mean,
I did notice.
We only had room for so many.
I like Spelunky 2 a lot, but I was a little disappointed with how many similarities there were to the original game. It wasn't the sort of like revelation that I was expecting where it's all new. And also came out right at the same time as Hades, and I think everyone was just like, I feel a little bit bad for the Spelunky team. Mm-hmm. I think just Hades.
Yeah, I can see that.
Love.
Yeah, took the conversation.
Yeah, I really like Spelunky 2. It's a very, you know, one could say perfectly put together game, but
well, then nominate it. It's your
because
award.
I was a little bit disappointed with like.
Look, it takes a committee of Damons to solve these things.
And, the council. Yeah, take it up on the committee.
The council of Damons.
Hades, we talked about a lot the last episode. Super impressive roguelike, but I find myself looking forward to the moments in between runs more than the actual action of the runs. Hunt Down is a game seemingly made for me, 2D pixel art run and gun shooter with tons of 80s references and like really fun boss battles. Every level is like very unique and different feeling. Multiple characters have different abilities and weapons. It's great.
That sounds great.
Streets of Rage 4 is like what companies, these developers that have been around for a long time, should be doing when they resurrect their old properties. Like, that's what Capcom should have done with its new Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection. Did you watch that trailer, Sam?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the ugliest possible version of a Ghosts and Goblins. Yeah. I mean, some of the monsters look cool, but it just looks... Yeah. And also, it's like, do I really want to play a game with that slow of a character with a two-hit till you're dead? Like, everything is wrong with that game. Like, it's not what I want to play in a Monster Hunter reboot. Or, Ghosts and Goblins reboot. I saw Capcom, and I just said Monster Hunter.
It's a really ugly art style, but I would...
Look how slow the character is.
Yeah, I know. I can only imagine what this would look like in like a Dead Cells pixel art style. Like, that sounds amazing. And with Streets of Rage 4, Sega, instead of making it themselves, they hired a small indie developer that had a lot of love and passion for that franchise and let them make it, and it turned out great. The Eternal Castle is a game I was singing the praises of earlier in the year. I played it on Switch. It's a cinematic platformer with an amazing 4-bit art style. That's how they describe it. And it's emulating games like... Out of This World and Flashback, stuff like that. That game is super cool. Also has great pixelated gore in it. And Bloodstained Curse of the Moon 2 is, you know, it's very, very similar to the original Curse of the Moon. Did you end up finishing that one, Sam?
Yeah, I beat it. I definitely got to the last boss. I think I got frustrated on the last boss.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right for me too.
So good, though. I really like how you can play how you want with the characters and then like how you start monitoring their life bar so carefully and getting stressed out about that. It's really fun.
Oh, I didn't even mention, I skipped over Panzer Paladin, but I was going to say that having multiple characters and each of them have their own health, but then when that character's health is gone, you have to go on without them. It's kind of like having breakable weapons in a game like Breath of the Wild and Panzer Paladin. All the weapons have their own health bars and they can be destroyed, so you always have to think about, is it worth using my most powerful weapon right now, or should I try and save it, even though it's going to make it more difficult to get through this level? I like playing those games in my head, those little meta games, while I'm doing all the platforming and all the other stuff. Tina's right. As I said last episode, it's not even fair. Ghost of Tsushima, open world, feudal Japan samurai game, and all they had to do was not mess it up, and they didn't. The game is so good.
Something I didn't get to talk about in last week's episode that I really appreciate about that game is it's, there's so many different stances. There's so many different, varied, interesting side activities that it doesn't feel like the first game in a new franchise. It feels like something that they've been working on and iterating on for a long, long time. Where like Ghost of Tsushima 2 or 3 would have all this stuff packed into it, but they managed to... they managed to shove it all in their very, very first try. Like, it's amazing. Sucker Punch has never been, a bad developer by any stretch, but they really, really stretched and reached a new height with this one that I am a little bit surprised and impressed that they had it in them.
Yeah, I am too.
I loved goosing my challenge meter or whatever the challenges were, where you'd be like, come out and fight me. And then people come out and you can kill like 5 or 6 of them by the end of that by just like hitting the button at the right time. That feels so badass. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the one-on-one duels that you have with like the Ronin around. Like, you'll come to the pond and he's just been there waiting for you. Like, who knows how long.
Meditating.
Yeah.
Those got better, but at the start of the game, those were really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The challenges, the loud challenges are like an interesting tension because then they stop you from doing stealth, right?
Yeah. So
it's like every single time I'm ever trying to like take over a castle or, whatever, I'd have to decide, like, do I want to try to stealth it or try to just knock 5 of them out right now?
For sure. Mm-hmm. Although I think you can like run away. Yeah. I think you can run away, get them to not be aware and then run back, do the challenge.
Can you do the bush hide? You go to bush for a little bit?
Where's your honor?
It was gone as soon as I decided to go the stealth route.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
We've been over this.
I want to give a shout out to Maneater, the open world shark game. I had a lot of fun with that. Super janky game, but very, very fun, enjoyable. And when I think back about that game, my like emotional response is how the shark mutates over time and develops like this like bone structure, this exoskeleton that grows over its skull, and its eyes glow red, and its teeth are like all like they're like, I mean, they don't, they're not like uniform, they're like really like evil looking. So I remember how like evil my shark looked because you know, a human, I think, hunt or fished his mother, and he grows, you know, the whole thing is like you start out as a tiny little shark, the more you eat the bigger you get, and you're just going to eat all the people in the world to get revenge for your mom.
And these cyber psychos.
Yeah. And then Desperados 3 is a game that I spent a lot of time with this year. That's a strategy game from the guys that did Shadow Tactics, Blade of the Shogun, and it's really good. It's more of a PC game, but they got it to work pretty well on PS4. And the level is like really long. It takes hours just to complete one level. So I spent a lot of time with it, but I didn't finish it because I think Ghost of Tsushima came out and I moved on with it. But I had a lot of fun with Desperados 3. And then a game I just started playing last night, Monster Train. That's going to be Monster Train is awesome.
And that's really?
Monster Train's really good.
Well, you're not going to like it, Sam.
Is it a card game?
It's a card game.
Ah! Yeah.
It's a card game, but like people that like Slay the Spire, Borba, if you're listening, this is like it could be like the next Slay the Spire. It's really, really good, and it's different enough to stand on its own, I think. Would you agree, Justin?
It's really great. I love it and can't recommend it highly enough. I do think Slay the Spire, Monster Train sort of shunts you into a few different builds, and I think you have more flexibility in a game like Slay the Spire. Like, Monster Train's good for like 40 hours, whereas Slay the Spire is like a 400-hour game if you want to let it be that.
Are you on a train with monsters? Is this a literal game?
Yeah, you're defending the train as monsters invade it, and the train's going through the circles of hell.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It just hit Game Pass, so it's on Xbox now.
That's how I checked it out. Actually, you are the Monster Train, and you're defending it from angels that are trying to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's great. Okay, the final award of the evening is the best joke I heard this year. The best dad joke I heard this year, I should specify.
Whoa. Oh boy.
Okay, so the first runner-up is, remember the joke I made about the chiropractor?
No.
I made it about a week back.
Here we go.
No. Our second runner-up is I finally got my dream job at the Guillotine Factory. I'll be heading there shortly.
We're hearing these, by the way.
What's up?
Where are you hearing these, like in casual conversation?
I cannot reveal my sources.
Oh, I see.
The best, my favorite dad joke that I heard this year is a guy tried to sell me a coffin today. Mm-hmm. Told him, that's the last thing I need.
Fair.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Hey, just so everybody knows out there, we're going to pipe in the laughter. We couldn't muster it ourselves. So we got our producer on the line. He's taking notes and he'll get in the laughter there.
With claps and laughter. Yeah. Well, to be fair, we all made facial expressions.
Yeah. But the
not
laughter
for the
will
week
be...
back one. Nobody even reacted to that one.
That one took me a second longer than I'm willing to. Well, I'm clearly willing to admit.
We were already on joke. We were already on joke two before joke one landed.
Yeah. No, I was because I was genuinely trying to rack my brain. Like, I forgot something Damon said.
Damon, do we have to pick which one wins?
Oh no, the coffin one is my favorite.
Oh really?
Okay. Yeah, that's the one. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to the 75th annual Dammy Awards. Congratulations to all our winners.
75th. It's weird that we do these 12 times a year.
Let's see. Before we wrap things up, what do you guys know? Who knows what the most read article on IGN was this year, and not like a wiki or a guide. What was the most read?
So that's so rude. That's the rudest article thing you've ever said.
Oh,
and it's how to buy a PlayStation 5.
That's exactly right. Where to pre-order a PlayStation 5.
But I know what number two is now because it just arrived there, and it's the Cyberpunk review.
And it just announced another review.
Yeah, it must just be for a month because my next question was going to be, what do you think is our most popular review? And as of today, as of this taping, it's not Cyberpunk.
What did we saw it was just going to pass. That's the thing. It was like, it was just going to pass.
It was Avengers. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
We super weird. But everybody stopped caring about Avengers after that review went up.
Well, yeah. And to be fair, it was like, you know, an in progress thing. So we reported
another
time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
That beta went out well in advance of the release. So I think that's why.
Yeah, we have a few more. We have a few more review follow-ups for Cyberpunk 2 to add in there.
That's true.
Next gen.
By the time this episode is out, Cyberpunk will probably have leapfrogged over Avengers.
What I run at IGN is our commerce business and pre-order business, and the PlayStation 5, like, it's unbelievable. You still can't find one anywhere. Like, it's still very, very hard to find both consoles, but the Xbox actually stayed in stock for like 5 or 10 minutes yesterday, where it's like PS5 is still just like, you know, blink and you miss it.
That's pretty significant that you could buy the Xbox that easily yesterday.
Yeah, for 5 minutes on Amazon. So,
so easy.
Well, but like, it happens in drips and drabs, right? Like, it'll be 10 minutes next time, and then 20, and then eventually.
Yeah, hopefully.
Eventually, everyone will have one.
Yeah. And that system's worth getting right now to play Cyberpunk on, according to Damon.
Orba says some PS5s actually just became available during this taping.
Yeah, wow, they went up on Best Buy and Walmart yesterday and today. So every single one that's sold is just one less person that's on the hunt for it. So if you're one of the people that are still trying to get one, you know, follow IGN Deals on Twitter and we'll hook you up.
Ugh, those bots, though. Am I right?
That PS5 pre-order article is not only the most page views of the year, but it's the most page views since we switched our analytics platform 3 or 4 years ago for a single article.
Wow. And I can tell you guys what the biggest guide page was. That wasn't. There's a bunch of guide pages that were more popular that weren't written this year, but the one that was written this year was an Animal Crossing one. I know one and two because I looked them up not an hour ago.
The first
one was all villagers. So that's actually a surprise to me.
Is that a list of all the villagers?
Yeah, you can
boot villagers out of your island. So some people will like nag their villagers to leave if they want a preferred villager in.
And people became really dedicated to get certain villagers. And then there's these cards you can use to scan in villagers for ones you wanted. But those sold out immediately at the head of the pandemic and never came back in stock. They're just non-existent.
That was one of the last pictures I took pre-pandemic.
Where we spread them all out on the floor.
Yeah.
Some say they're still there.
They were there
for a long time.
Maybe 2 months ago. They were there all summer long. I went in, got some, and used them. And then the second most popular page is fish list and fish locations and times.
So those are the most popular 2020 game wiki guides.
Yep. Everything else is a cheats page from lots of different games, just like going back through history.
GTA 5 cheats and secrets.
There's a bunch of GTAs in there. It's not just that, San Andreas, a bunch of other stuff.
The single most read page on all of IGN in 2020 is GTA 5 Cheats and Secrets. Same as it has been probably since 2013.
Mm-hmm. People just cannot memorize these cheats.
But the most popular 2020 game, the game that got the most page views from like all articles, reviews, previews, and the wiki is Final Fantasy VII.
Cool. That's unusual. That game ended up being a very popular guide game. Just like people loved using the guide for that. So I'm sure that added up. But that's earlier part of the year. People went crazy for our coverage of it too.
Well, that Cyberpunk guides are starting to pick up launch. So we'll see.
I have no question. Yeah, Cyberpunk is just going to be a megaton once it works for everybody.
Until Mario 3D All-Stars blew it out of the water, Final Fantasy VII Remake was the game that IGN Deals saw the most pre-orders from, too, as well.
Mm-hmm. That was so cool that when the 3D All-Stars was taken off and everybody's excited, but then people were pretty disappointed by that launch.
It's the Nintendo, it's the only available for a limited time thing. That's the only thing I can attribute it to.
Mm-hmm. And then does anyone know what the most read news article of the year is? The answer might surprise you.
Okay. The third Cyberpunk delay.
I bet it's one of our science stories.
Yeah, I think it's the asteroid almost hitting Earth one.
I omitted those.
Almost hitting Earth?
That was it. But I should specify the video game, the most read video game news story of the year. This is an asteroid scoop.
Is it the ACO playing or watching doing the Twitch stream?
No, it's Microsoft no longer selling 12-month Xbox Live Gold plans ahead of Xbox Series X launch. That's it. That's it. That's
I
the
was
most
thinking
news
like
article.
Microsoft Bethesda, but no.
I know it's really
that was a pretty big story, right?
That was, yeah.
Number two was a mother recovers the $20,000 her son secretly spent on Twitch donations in 17 days.
Oh, that was a crazy one. That had a good ending, right? They restored the money. Oh, that is the story. You said that was the recovery one. Because we covered the first part of that, which was son spends $20,000.
Yeah. And then number three was PS5's controller, the DualSense, revealed. That was really
the controller instead of anything about the console or games or anything. But yeah,
well, they were more willing to talk about that first before the console.
Yeah, the controller was revealed first.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. Okay. So then looking into 2021, it's a little bit slow going right into the year in terms of new game releases. But are there any any games that are coming in 2021, whether they have a release date or not, that you are looking forward to? Tina,
my brain's Damon, not working.
Can you guess mine, Damon?
In 2021, is it God of War 2 or Ragnarok?
No, it's we've talked about a particular theme that we may share in our current game of the year.
So it's either open world or it's
Tokyo,
Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Ghostwire Tokyo.
Japan, but yeah, Ghostwire Tokyo. Ghostwire Tokyo. At least one of the games that I'm looking forward to. Yeah. Looks trippy as hell.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a couple trailers for the game. And that's this, the Evil Within team, right?
I believe.
Shinji Mikami. Believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sam, how about you?
Can you guys guess what mine is? One of the games came out this year and I loved it. And I think it got a little bit snubbed by our staff because it was short, but it was really, really good. And it was too scary to play for a lot of people.
Short, scary.
It's coming out with a sequel next year.
Yeah. Although the sequel is four games later.
Resident Evil Village.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's
Because I loved Resident Evil 3, and I thought that was a really great start to this year. I loved 2 and 3 remake so much, and Village. I'm so into Resident Evil. I mean, I'm more into third person games, but yeah, that's definitely my number one.
Justin, how about you?
It's an interesting question. I might need to look at a calendar. I mean, the most anticipated game in general is overwhelmingly Breath of the Wild 2. You know, I don't know that we're actually going to get that next year. I hope we do. That and maybe a fully functional and patched Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, I think
it does
one
come
that
out on next gen.
Yeah.
It comes out on next gen this year, so.
I haven't tried to get a refund for the PS5 version, so I have it on PC and PS5, or, you know, the PlayStation version, and so maybe I'll just leave that PlayStation version until it's all patched up.
I don't know if anybody's as excited about it for me, but I think play it and give it a try, but I think Lord of the Rings Gollum is interesting.
Yeah.
It's a Lord of the Rings game that's coming out.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how that turns out.
No, nobody cares.
I mean, we'll see. I'm going to wait for the reviews on that one.
Yeah, there are a couple we'll sees.
Before we break, can I share a cute story?
Yes, you can. You may.
Me and my older daughter, who's 6.5, she's really like, a switch has been flipped. And like, I've talked about on the show before that we play video games a little bit together, but she found them really frustrated and didn't have much fun. But like, now she's familiar enough with controllers and stuff that like a whole door has been opened and we can play all kinds of games together. And we've been playing Untitled Goose Game. She just calls it Sneaky Goose. She's like, can we play Sneaky Goose? Mm-hmm. And then like they patched in this 2-player mode. And so we're both these different geese just honking at people and ruining their day. And now she asks to play like Sneaky Goose just in like around the house. She just wants to play it. And she makes me, she doesn't know that this is what she's describing, but she makes me have like an NPC. She's like, go stand over here, count to five, and then turn around and go over here and count to five. And she's like, and I'm going to try to sneak behind you and like grab things and like untie your shoes. And like, then she made me have these like keys sticking out of my pocket that like she had to try to steal my keys. And
she's broken down the level design. Good for her.
Yeah,
for real.
Then she pretends to be a goose, her and her sister, and then after about 5 minutes, it just becomes them screaming and honking.
And, well, if you need another Christmas gift for them, you should totally get them a goose costume.
Is it? I didn't know those existed.
Anything? Come on, type anything into Amazon, it exists.
Goose costume.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, except for it's very cute and wholesome, except she's like, now I want to bite the people. And I'm like, I don't think the goose can do that. Like,
yeah, you can only honk in the game. Yeah.
I'm like, he's mischievous. He's not like evil.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He just wants those bells.
You do bite things. You can bite and drag things, but you can't bite people as far as I remember.
And that's also an example of Game Pass getting me, by the way, because we started it's on Game Pass, and that's why we were playing it. And on December 15th, a couple days ago, it was taken off of Game Pass. And so then I just had to buy it.
Like, really?
Which, whatever. Like, I buy games all the time. But
that kid pressure.
Yeah, that's the kid
pressure. That'll do it.
And that's also, I'm sure that's the stats that, like, Microsoft shares with developers, right? It's like, be on Game Pass a while, and then, your game sales will increase. And it's like, it completely worked on me.
Whoa, I never thought about the after purchase thing. Yeah.
Yeah, they sell. I'm positive. I don't know that this is the case, but I'm positive that they share stats and it has a halo effect on other platforms. Like the Switch sales probably increased, and then when it's taken off of Game Pass, their sales probably go up.
And that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions, and our suggestions this week come from Nick. He says it's only fair to send off 2020 with not one, but two rounds of Video Game 20 Questions. It's only 2020 once. Let's double the exciting action. Video Game 2020 Questions.
I don't see how far we...
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we do it in 4 minutes?
That's why I shared my anecdote. I had a meeting. We were playing 20 Questions.
We have to play 20 Questions.
Okay.
It's the law.
Let's get to it.
All right.
Let's get into it. Let the questioning begin.
Is this first game on current generation consoles?
No.
Did it come out before 2000?
No.
Ooh, did this game come out on the previous generation of consoles?
PS3, 360, or what? Yeah. Is that what you're calling previous?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess.
For now. Yes. Yeah.
It did.
Okay. Is this an exclusive?
No.
Is it part of a series?
Yes, that's five.
Okay.
Was this game developed in Japan?
Yes.
Is it an RPG?
Yes.
Whoa, okay.
Was this game made by Square Enix?
Yes.
Is this a Drakuei game? Sorry, Tina.
No.
No.
Is it an FF?
Is it a Final Fantasy game? Yes, that's 10.
Okay.
I don't know them for that era.
Yeah, I mean, is this one of the mainline? Is this game titled Final Fantasy number after that?
Yes.
Okay, so it's got to be 13, right? Does this game star Lightning?
No.
I mean, I guess it could be 14. Is this game an MMO? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, is this game Final Fantasy 14?
I just want to remind everyone that if you're wrong, you lose.
Oh boy.
What are you doing? It's not 11. It's not Final Fantasy 11. I don't understand what you're doing to us right now.
You can guess 14 if you like.
It's an MMO. Like what? It's not
a realm. Did you say yes, it was an MMO?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it came out on that generation.
I don't think 14 came out on those consoles. Or
it came out on PS4. It absolutely. I played it.
PS3, yeah.
Oh,
is that 11?
Maybe it is 11.
Well, I don't know. It's not 14.
Yeah, because 12 came out on that era 13. Of stuff.
Okay, so did this game come out and be extremely poorly received, and then get completely reworked and relaunched to significant critical acclaim?
No.
Is it Final Fantasy 11?
Yes. 15.
I didn't know what the answer to that question was.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 14 came out and everyone hated it and it was terrible. And then it was the first example I can ever think of a game, like they took like 2 years and rebuilt it and relaunched it and everybody loved it.
We have 1 minute.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah, we can't.
Final Fantasy 11 originally came out on PS2 and PC in 2004 and then was came out on 360 in 2006.
Okay.
Does everybody have a hard out?
Yeah.
Everybody has a hard out. Only Tina told me at the beginning.
I'm sorry.
We just let her take the heat.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone else flew under the radar.
I didn't even check until it popped up 15 minutes ago.
Okay, and then I guess that's all the time we have.
We can do it over Slack, and we can send this guy the results.
So yeah, send them to Nick, N-I-C. Okay. All right. That is all the scoops that we have for you this year, I'm afraid. Thank you so much for hanging out with us all year long. We're going to take next week off to have a little break, and then we're going to come back with brand new episodes of Game Scoop in the new year. Thank you to Justin. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Jaborba, always working behind the scenes. My name is Damon. This has been IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.